Pray with me, please. Father, we are just so grateful to be in your house this morning. We're thankful, Father, for the year that has passed, and we look forward to the year that is ahead. May we find in all that we do great joy and celebration, acknowledging, Father, that you and all of your love for us continue to bring us to the great things that you have ahead. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I remember being up in a pulpit a couple of years ago and the things that I said and what I used. It was kind of funny. After I came over here, I noticed one thing. Pastor writes smaller than I do. A couple of times I folded up his Bible from up here and put it away, and I had to squint to see what he was writing. I used to write that small, if you can believe it. I now have to write about that big. So one of the joys of doing what we do every day is we adjust. We learn to move from one thing to another. That's what we're going to talk a little bit about this morning. I'm not going to read the text to you. Most of you are aware that I'm going to have cataract surgery, so it's difficult for me to read. Everything I say is based on that book and comes out of Jeremiah chapter 33, the first 13 verses. And what we're looking at is just the idea that there are happy days ahead. I don't know what's happened for you over the past 2 years. I've been in touch with several people because of my age. Things get tougher. They get harder. I couldn't begin to count the number of people that have one kind of surgery or another over the past 2 years. And one of the great joys I have is seeing celebration afterwards. There have been times when there has been what seemed to be a lack of celebration because the loved one did not pass through all that they were going through, but God called them home. Well, to me, that's a celebration as well, because I know that in all of that we deal with in this world that we have here, you don't have to worry about things when you get there. And that's always an exciting thought. One of the people that I have, and I asked her if I could use her as an illustration this morning, is Sarah Paxton. I don't know if you read her blog. Some of you older folks might not know what a blog is. She's the only blog other than the pastors I've ever read, so I don't know what most blogs are anyway. But in her blog, she confesses her shortcomings and how she has had to deal with going through her cancer treatment, the things that she has had to wrestle with. But in the same blog, she comes forward with the joys that she has seen because she can celebrate that in all of the things that have happened, she can say, God is good. God is good. I remember probably 10 years ago when somebody in the pulpit would say, God is good, somebody out in the congregation would always say,
all the time.
We need to understand that in what we go through every day. We need to understand that things aren't the easiest that they have been. As God was using and speaking to Jeremiah, Jeremiah could have easily thought, you know, it's about time to give up. I mean, he's close to death, or he thought he was. He was imprisoned in the courtyard. He was under guard where the elders and officers could come and counsel with him and talk with him. But he had no really freedoms as we like to understand it today. We think our freedoms are a necessity in the life in which we live. And please understand, I enjoy my freedoms. But I also understand that I have to acknowledge that in all of those things, God is a part. Jeremiah began in his understanding that his security was wrapped up in the Lord in the first couple of verses. Understanding that everything that secures me and what I go through from day to day is wrapped in what God is doing in my life. I shared with our Sunday school class this morning, 2 years ago today, I was feeling pretty good. I didn't need this chair up here, and I could walk around without any issues. Within a month, I was flat on my back. I was in a hospital for 2 weeks. My wife said she thought the first week I wasn't going to come home. A lot of things happened, and you could get into specifics, but other than the understanding that what God has done makes a difference, and I don't mind being up here sitting in the chair. I used to, you know, get around pretty good. I used to like to walk and go where I could go and have the freedom to do so. Can't do that much anymore. But I still know that God is good because of what he does and how he continues to take care of us from day to day. We've been through a lot in 2 years. I have, and my wife has. Sarah has. There have been others in the congregation out there that I can point out to you. They've gone through a lot, too. They have gone through issues. But in all of those issues, we have the joy of sitting here this morning, of celebrating this morning, because that's what worship is. Worship is celebration. One of the things that is kind of fun sometimes is remembering that God takes care of us and always exceeds our expectations. I like to think of, you know, well, if I was fully healed, this is where I would be. I don't know that that's so, because I think God has me where he wants me. I think God has me doing what he wants me to do. I remember retiring from being a pastor. That was, oh, awful. I mean, I didn't get up on Sunday morning and have the joy of going in and doing all that I did on Sunday morning. I still did everything except preach. And I couldn't have that joy anymore. And I realized very quickly that I didn't need that joy anymore because God opened other doors. God provided other things to happen. I don't know how your last year has been. Some of you, because it's been pretty good. Some of you have had situations within your life that have been health issues. They might have been issues with kids. They might have been issues with any number of things over the past couple of years. But I want you to understand, after Tuesday, 2019 is over with. You can't go back and change a thing. You cannot go back and adjust the circumstances for which God has placed you in. But you can still acknowledge in all of those things that God is good. What fun it is to know that you can get up and do the things that God wants you to do. Now, I mean, I got a kick. This morning I really began to realize I sleep a little bit more than I used to. I mean, I used to get up and with about 5 hours sleep or 4 hours sleep a night and get up in the morning and do all the things that I had to do for the day. And I'd get home and I'd go to bed about 8 o'clock at night and I'd get up at midnight and I'd start my day all over again. I can't do that anymore. I slept about 9 hours last night. I slept about 10 hours the night before. I know some people out there are saying, boy, I wish I could do that. Take advantage of your health. Do it when you need to do it. I see people who walk around until they're about ready to fall down, and then they need to sleep for about 15 hours. But God uses all the situations that we're in to celebrate who he is in our life. And I'm looking forward to 2020. I don't have any idea what could happen. I don't have any idea what could take place. I think, you know, there are times when I think Satan does his best to get me on a downside. And all I have to do is talk to my wife. He does the same to her. We cheer each other up and we step up and take off again. One of the things I mentioned to her just a couple of days ago, this may be the last Christmas I'm here. I don't know. I'm not feeling like it's going to be. I don't have issues that are going to take my life away from me. But I know that no matter what happens, life goes on for all of us. If I'm not here, I'm celebrating in heaven. If I wasn't here worshiping this morning, I'd be worshiping someplace else. Great joy in what God has done, looking forward. Jeremiah found out that as he dealt with what God had done, and as God talked to him, that there were some things that had taken place for the people of God. One of the things was a reminder to Jeremiah that God's knowledge far exceeds anything that he has. No matter what plans I have for next year, guess what? I have to trust God. I know the pastor and the deacons and the church council put together these plans for the next year, and I think they're great in doing so, but understand that there may come a glitch in those plans. What are you going to do when you get a glitch in your plans? What are you going to do when something doesn't happen as you expected? What happens if you have an health issue? What happens if there's an accident? What happens if God takes a loved one from you? What do you do? Well, one thing that I had always counseled in marriage counseling was to be ready for anything to happen. So no matter what you do, be ready that anything could happen. Know that God is in charge. I love to see people who get excited about and acknowledge the fact that God is so good in what he's doing presently. Sarah does that in her blog. And she's done that in a couple of times when I've just chatted with her or messaged back and forth with her. She understands that she can't do what she used to do. She'd like to get on the floor and play with those kids and do a whole lot more that she cannot do right now until she gets her health back and restored. But God is good. It's great seeing Rex here every Sunday morning. What a blessing that is. You remember when we started this process with Rex? My goodness, he wasn't even born yet. We knew we were going to have trouble. Mom and Dad were already heading up to Philadelphia. All kinds of things were taking place. But God is good. Look at him today. Making so much noise, Mama takes him out of the service. But God is good. One of the things that Jeremiah had to understand as well is that God can reveal what he wants to reveal. One of the things I had to learn a long time ago was I don't have all the answers. And I don't know everything that God is doing. And I couldn't begin to perceive everything that's taking place in everybody's lives. A pastor has a difficult job. Ours does. Every pastor does. Because he's not just dealing with a child or two of his own. He's dealing with your children. He's dealing with you. He's dealing with me. He's dealing with the church and the issues and the things that are around it. He's wrapped up in the world as well as the rest of us with the things that are going on, yet he has to deal with it and understand that God is good, that God is working through him, that God is doing what God wants him to do on a regular basis. I've enjoyed being here the last, I guess it's been about 6 years or 7 years, understanding that everything that has been, I get to sit back and watch. I'm a watcher. I like to watch. People in my Sunday school class, I love to go out on Black Friday. And everybody goes, "You got to be kidding." No, I don't want to buy a thing. I just want to go out and watch people. I love to go sit in the mall in a chair in the center and watch people. Because you know what it does? It used to make great sermon illustrations. I mean, all the time. Because people react and deal with things in such different ways because we're all different. So while there may be 70 or 80 people here this morning, and you have to deal with your loved one and your family and maybe another person or two, but the pastor gets to deal with everybody. I don't know if you've ever thought of the pastor being a mediator. You did when it comes to business meeting, because that's what he did. And then he got me involved. And I don't mind. I love doing it. But he still mediates a lot of things in life. I mean, how many activities do we have going on at church? How many of you are involved in every activity? You're not? How many of you are involved in one activity? Most of you are. And you have to understand that that's everything this church is in mission for. What you do, you represent this church, but you represent God first in what takes place and what happens. Jeremiah understood where he was and could have thought, you know, this is the last thing that's going to happen to me and I'm not going anywhere and my people aren't going to have any benefits from it. But God revealed what he wanted to, and now just the fact that things have taken place and things have happened doesn't mean there's not going to be a better day, because God is still in charge. It's fun understanding the simple things of life. I used to try to make everything complicated. I probably still do at times. But make everything difficult. Have you ever done that as a parent? Oh, my kids. I wish they knew everything right. Well, what's right? Your concept, your perception of right on this side of the sanctuary is different from those that are on this side of the sanctuary. Is that a bad thing? Not at all. What we have to do is get together and not worry about what we think is right, but what God thinks is right. Jeremiah knew that God's people had been unfaithful to him. And they had done this over and over and over again. The people of Israel continued to be on the bad side. But God would restore them to fellowship, bring them back close again, and take care of them and provide for them, and they'd do it again. God understands where you fail. I don't know of anybody in this room that could say, I've never failed. I would have to think most of us have failed in some aspect or another most of our lives. Does that mean God doesn't love us because we failed? No. God's sharing with Jeremiah that regardless of what has happened, he's still going to take care of his people. He's going to restore what needs to be restored. In verse 4, all of man's efforts to do God's work will be futile, is what God says. God has to hide his face. God describes his anger and withdrawal and favor and protection because of the people's wickedness, because of what the people have done. And what God was not going to hear the cries of his people. Why? Because they had done wrong. When you do something wrong, does God hear your cries? Now you're going to have to say, well, it depends on if I'm crying for forgiveness or if I'm just crying because things aren't going my way. Have you ever thought of that? When I get in a bad situation, do I look to God for healing to take place, or do I look to God to take care of the problem? It's generally the fact that I need healing to take place. And when that healing takes place, man, what joy that brings. What restoration, what fellowship, what opportunities for worship that brings in the life of God's people. One of the things that I've learned in being a pastor and then not being a pastor is that trials in life can turn into blessings. Trials can turn into blessings. Anybody here not have a trial? Anybody here not have a blessing? There are things that are not we perceive as not being taken care of yet. And we don't see the full blessing from what has happened. But we know that God is still good. God is still involved. God is still there for you and I to lean on every day. Jeremiah's encouragement comes from God. It doesn't come from the people that are looking after him for counsel. While the encouragement is great to come from any place, y'all have been such an encouraging church as Jan and I have gone through what we've gone through. But understand, there are folks out there that may not have gone through what we've gone through, but we still find an opportunity to encourage. I see people all the time that do a great job at something. How do you respond to them? How do you encourage them? How do you deal with them? Sometimes it's just a simple word. You know, y'all have done a good job. You know, things are going well. You have blessed me in one way or another. I get a great joy out of this praise team. Not because it was funny. When I first joined the praise team, everybody told me how loud I was. And I figured, well, maybe God took me down a peg or two so I wouldn't be quite as loud anymore. I'm not as loud when I have to sit and sing as when I stand and sing. But, you know, it's a celebration to do the things that God calls you to do. I love sitting up here. Some of you should be standing up here. Because some of you have better voice than I do. I've heard you. But God uses us all differently. You can say, well, I don't have time for the praise team. I'm in the children's ministry. Or I don't have time in children's ministry because I'm doing something else. I'm involved in scouts or I'm involved in somebody else's job. That's fine. You do what God calls you to do. But unless everything is done according to what God wants us to do, we have to deal with the consequences, which is what the people of God were dealing with. You have to deal with that. I thought, used to think it was always funny. You'd go to church on Sunday morning, and I was part of those, you know, we had four kids. Take them to the class, and I'll pick them up after the end of Sanctuary Church. No problem. Not I have to do a thing to deal with them. Everybody else can take care of them for a couple hours. And you know, a lot of people think that way. But I had to think that way is because I was pastor. I couldn't go back and work in the nursery. I was waiting for the nursery to come out and plot itself on the pulpit some Sunday morning. But you know, it's all a part of what we do to honor God on a regular basis. Many of you have jobs and committees and councils and things that have to be taken care of. How do you feel that's running? Well, it's sort of not been all up to par in the past couple of years. Well, I want you to understand what's going to happen next year is up to you and God. Not just the person and God. I'm talking about a corporate you and God. It's kind of interesting. I was never a big computer person. And I never really got much into the internet when it first came on. I mean, I could use a computer a little bit, and it was okay. Facebook, what was that? My goodness, the things you learn on Facebook. Then you have to sort out whether they're true or not. But the things and the abilities of social media today and the things that are there are good in some cases. I love when the pastor sends out notes to the deacons and Bob. He'll send out emails to the deacons and Bob. He'll have somebody hand deliver Bob's because Bob doesn't get email. And I love when you see people who are involved and something happened this week and you walk in on Sunday morning and I'll remember because it was on Facebook, somebody had a birthday and I'll walk up to them and tell them happy birthday and they'll go, how do you know? Well, because we're friends on Facebook. But you need to understand we're friends otherwise as well. What you're here for is to honor God. What I'm here for is to give God glory. And one of the things that I think we need to grab a better hold of by what Jeremiah was getting out of what God was giving him is going into the next year, maybe we just need to solidify the fact that, yeah, there are going to be happy days ahead. Those happy days are to come from us being a testimony to the world for what God has already done in the past couple of years. I can imagine, that what we what we go through, what takes place, is a description of sometimes good things and sometimes bad things. God was dealing with Jeremiah and telling him that all this thing, all this desolation, all this destruction, all of this was in order to bring God's people back to God. Well, let me tell you something. Don't make God have to do that to you. Take what you've had for the past 2 years and begin a new step forward. Remember, it's going to be a good week. It's going to be a good year. It's going to be good as you allow it to be good in God's eye. And that means we begin doing what God calls us to do. I love the idea of starting off with fasting and prayer. I want you to understand I'm diabetic. I have a heart issue. I have high blood pressure. And so I'm not going to do without food. My doctor won't let me. But I may do without donuts and candy and things that I'm not supposed to have anyway, but I may do other things as well. How will you honor God begins with what takes place after you leave this service. You don't have to wait till next week. You take that pamphlet that you got handed out today and you look through it and you find out, okay, God, begin praying about what God wants you to do over the next 40 days. Find a sense of excitement and joy in what is coming to honor God. When you walk out of church on Sunday morning, what are your thoughts? Boy, that was good. Boy, that was fun. Boy, I'm happy. Or do you walk out going, well, that's another Sunday it's over with. I got to do it again next week. That's almost the same as how you start your day. When you wake up in the morning, you turn over, put your feet on the floor. Do you say, good morning, Lord? Or do you say, good Lord, it's morning? Celebrate what lies ahead. Look forward, anticipate the joy of what is coming. And realize you're not going to do everything. You can't do everything. But do what God calls you to do. Would you pray with me, please? Father, you do with us every day what you would do with us. And we respond, either in affirmative or in a negative fashion. And I trust that as Jeremiah began to understand what was taking place, you help us to begin to understand what is taking place in our lives. And we accelerate our lives to a position in which we are beginning to start off anew for the next year. We don't know what's going to happen. We could think of all the horrible things or all of the beautiful things that would happen. We could begin looking at what's taking place in the world around us and get discouraged, or we can celebrate the fact that you love us, that you care about us, that you have plans for each and every one of us. And I pray, Father, that as we go into this next year, we'll make a decision this morning to honor you, that we'll begin prayer this morning to celebrate you, that we'll look at all the blessings that we have and all of the blessings as we move forward. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Feel free to come up and pray. Feel free to come up and get the pastor to pray with you.